This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين الحمد لله to the grace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight we come to an end of our series. Hopefully, inshallah, was going to be the beginning of a new start in our homes, inshallah. After we laid down the foundation of the keys to building an awesome family, and then we talked about how to raise the heroes that we have into our homes and to being heroes, inshallah. Today we're going to talk about some of the dangers at the doors of our homes. And this title, actually, it's not a truthful title. It's a title built upon hope of how it should be. We should hope that the dangers are at our door. But the reality is that the dangers are where? They're in the home. They've invaded the home, they've flooded the home, and they've taken over the home. And whose fault is that? It's important. Because if you look at the reasons behind these dangers spreading through our households, spreading through our ideologies, there's two main reasons, two main enemies. The internal enemy from inside and the external one from outside. And then, obviously, the two main categories, then we have a whole bunch of subcategories that fall under these two. So which one of the two is the most dangerous? And which one has the most fault? Who do we blame most? Which one of the two enemies? Huh? Inside. Anybody else? External. But let me ask you another question. Who is the biggest enemies, or who is the biggest enemy of the Muslims today? Huh? Huh? Okay. Who else? Don't worry, you guys are on camera. I'm going to get in trouble for this. Not you guys, though. You can say it. Yeah. Who do we always blame for our problems as Muslims? The West. And? Be more specific. Huh? America and Israel. The West, America and Israel, specifically. We always blame it. And the Muslims are the best people in the world when it comes to the blame game. Throw it on somebody else. We're doing sins, we're falling, the damn Americans, the damn Jews. It's their fault. Do they have some issues when it comes to corrupting the homes? No doubt, we're not going to say they don't. But who is the biggest enemy in corrupting the homes? We need to realize. Who is the biggest danger? The one inside the home or the one outside the home? Who let them into your house? We let them in. They put an ideology, they put a methodology to spread it. And their troops from the munafiqeen, from the hypocrites, they came and paid them and helped them do it. And we opened up the doors for them, let them in. They're looking out for their own interests. You let them in. So who's really to blame? And this is very, very important. Because all the time, we blame America, blame Israel, blame the West, blame that. But we don't look at ourselves. The change starts from where? Huh? Within. What did Allah say about change in the Quran? Very good. لا يغير ما بقوم. How do you غير what's inside of them? They don't change. He doesn't change Allah what the people have to. They change what's inside of themselves. The change comes from within. So you have to pay attention to this. The reality of who the biggest enemy is. You have to be honest. At any time, when you want to be successful, you want to make change, the key to the start is to be honest. To come and say, I made a mistake. It's my fault. It's easy to put the blame on other people. But when you stand up and say, no, I'm the one responsible. This is when the change starts. The next question. What are the main things, the main dangers that affect the household today, in the life we live in today, in the world we live in today? What are the main dangers? TV. Internet. What else? The West. Mobile phones. Huh? What else? Laziness. Very good. All kinds of problems. Think about it, because I'm going to come back and ask you guys again. I want you guys to do some brainstorming today. See, the people didn't come in the rain. I know it's a lazy thing. People get lazy when it rains. So people are at home sleeping, I guess. But anyways, we want you guys to think. Do some brainstorming. Think, what are these dangers? And I'm going to come back to you, inshallah, on it. In reality, this topic tonight, it has a lot to do with the last two topics. Because what we're supposed to be doing, laying out the foundation, once again, it comes back to the dangers. How we're supposed to be raising our children. All you need to do is do the vice versa. The things we need to have an awesome Muslim home, if you're not doing them, it becomes a danger in the home. We mentioned 24, 25 points. Do the opposite. If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, it becomes a danger. How you're supposed to be raising your children, we talked about it yesterday. If you're not doing it, it becomes a danger. From the beginning, picking the right spouse. How you built the foundation. So many problems happen now in the households because the people didn't make the right choice in the beginning. You didn't build the foundation right from the beginning. And when a building is built, a foundation in a building, when I first visited Egypt, they showed me several buildings that had collapsed. They said, what happened after the revolution, when Morsi became president in this, they were able to build really quick in this time, before he was elected. Nobody was really watching. They built a whole bunch of buildings that weren't, didn't have permission to build them. And several of them, because they weren't built correctly and they cheated the people, they collapsed, killing some of the people inside. Why did they collapse? Because of what? The foundation wasn't proper. Wasn't built proper. It was built just to get it done, get some money. Who cares about the outcome? So the foundation comes back from the beginning. Leaving our responsibilities as parents. We know what we're supposed to be doing, but are we doing it? We talked about this yesterday in detail. What are we supposed to be doing? What is our role? What do we need to be doing? Are we doing it? The man today, we say, what's his main concern today? What is his job today? Huh? Money. And most parents today, most fathers believe that this is his duty. To go out, to make the money in the morning, come home, have his meal ready, read the newspaper, watch TV, and go to sleep. And he's done his job, mashallah, tabarakallah, as a parent. To put his kid into a good school, even if it's not an Islamic school, even if it's a Christian school, no problem. Just put him in there, as long as he gets a good education, he's eating well, has a nice place to sleep, I've done my job as a parent. This is the issue here. This is the real danger. Not fulfilling your duties. That's why we said yesterday, we have to kindly remind ourselves about the responsibility of being a parent. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, when he said, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum masulun an ra'iyati." Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in each of his words, there's hikmah, there's wisdom. And we're supposed to reflect on them. In reality, who knows in Arabic, what is a ra'i? A shepherd. In reality, it's a shepherd. But here it means that, you know, you're responsible. And what does the ra'i do, the shepherd? He's responsible for what? His flock of sheep or whatever it is. And what happens if he doesn't take care of it? The wolf comes and eats it, takes it away. They get killed by the wild animal. They get lost. They get harmed. And in this hadith as well, mas'ul. What is a mas'ul? Responsible. But it also comes from the root word where it has what? Issue of su'al. Question. Mean that you're going to be questioned. You're mas'ul. You're going to be asked about this duty. Did you fulfill it or not? Did you fulfill your responsibility? It's a serious thing. One of the biggest dangers in our household is ourselves. We don't realize this. Our child's needs, are we fulfilling them? We talked even about the emotional side. The psychology, what are we feeding them, the information that we're feeding them? All of these things we mentioned before. If it's not being done properly, then we're the biggest enemies. We're the biggest enemies of our household. The child is, he copies his parents. He's a copycat when he's young. All the information he's seeing from you and your wife. So if he's seeing good, he's going to be like what? To what? To good and to the straight path. If he's going to see bad, he's going to be where? To the bad path. Sometimes a little kid, he says a bad word. Where did he hear that from? He curses other kids. Calls them himar. Calls them a donkey. Why? Because his father calls him a donkey. And that's what he's supposed to do. It's serious. It's a dangerous thing. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that the enemies of Islam and what they want to do to destroy the Muslim family is not dangerous. It's dangerous. It's a major danger. But we have to look at ourselves and reflect on ourselves and what we're doing first. The issue of the TV, which you guys mentioned. Nowadays, the TV is one of the main things that we blame. In reality, no doubt about it, it's one of the most dangerous things that we can do for our children, that we can leave for our children. The television is so dangerous. And it's a very difficult situation that we're put in as parents because it's part of society today. The Islamic stations, the Islamic organizations that have millions and billions of dollars, some of them, if you put it together. We have money. The money's not an issue. We have the talent as a Muslim ummah to make good Islamic cartoon channels for our children. But do we do it? Where is it? Most of the Islamic stuff is complete rubbish. It's horrible. And the kids know it. My son right now, mashallah, 2.5 years old, I'll put him in front of the iPad and I'll put an Islamic thing on him. He's like, this is crap. You know, he'll hit something on the side. He's like, that's the good stuff there. He knows by from 2.5 years old, this is rubbish what he's watching. These bad animations and it's just not good. He goes to the side, he knows how to hit it now. He's like, this is the good stuff here. He knows how to turn on his own cartoons now. It's a problem we face. It's a problem. And it's something we have to strive to remind those who have the ability to do it. These cartoons that we see as being something so innocent, not a big deal. SubhanAllah, sometimes when you sit down and you watch the enemies of Islam, NBC3, the enemies, the real big enemies, these type of people, when they come and they invade your home, teaching your children not just bad things, not just violence, teaching them straight up kufr. Kufr! So I turned it on when my kid wanted to watch. We were in the hotel room. And I was like, wow, that's all kufr. All magic. All different types of gods. Superpowers from these gods. And this is being drained into the minds of our children. Taking him out of the fold of Islam if he believes in this. Making him a kafir if he believes in this. Subliminal messaging being put into their heads. Pornographic stuff. Even non-Muslims, from Christians who want to practice their religion, they're saying the same thing. There's studies, testing, and proving that these are sending pornographic messages to our children. I can show you pictures of the freaky Smurfs. The Smurfette, she's a miskinish. Sending indirect messages. And I can't say it now because we have a young audience, some of the things I've seen. Indirect. You wouldn't think anything about it. Then when you look at how the message is being sent to the kids, a'udhu billah, corrupting them, destroying them. So what we need to do, and I'm a parent, just like you're a parent, inshallah. It's going to be very difficult to cut it off 100%. What we need to do is get the message out there to those people who have the ability to make a change, to get something good quality Islamic cartoon stations. That's one thing. Secondly, if our children are going to watch it, unfortunately, we'll have to watch it with them to make sure what they're watching, censoring it, make sure it's good or not. And the video games as well. I'm not going to say don't let your kids play, but certain things, we have to draw the line when it comes to that. I remember when I was on tour in Ireland, my son sends me a message, and he said, I want you to pick up a game for me, for PlayStation. I said, okay, what's that? He said, The God of War. And I said, are you serious? He said, no, it's not really like that. It's not. I said, what do you mean it's not really like that? Come on, man. I said, what would I look like now going to buy the God of War? I said, come on. I said, think of something else. There's got to be something else out there, you know. There's no way in the world I would buy that. And there's no way in the world I'd let you play that. I mean, that's haram from the name right there. I mean, and no telling what's even, it's probably even worse. They went one, when they were younger, they went and bought a whole bunch of games. One of them was Grand Theft Auto. What kind of message is that teaching the kids? I looked at that for the first time and I said, look, I said, there's no, we don't really. I said, what good does that have in it? It's fun. It's no fun. You're beating up people, killing people, stealing cars. There's other things you can do we're not going to mention here as well. If you download from the internet, some other crazy things. It's horrible. You're going to be a criminal, a tree of criminals. There's no good in that. I told my kids, I said, what you're going to do, you're going to break it into little pieces. They're like, oh. And I said, and here's the money to go buy another one. But there's no way in the world that we're going to have that in this house. It's impossible. Now, come on, everything has its limits, you know. So go buy another game. This stuff is very, very, very dangerous. We have the ability to make Muslim games, but unfortunately, there's nobody sponsoring these things. So there's certain things we realize that as individuals we can't do, but we have to try our best. Remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us? اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you can. And we have to make sure we know what's going on. We talked to the brothers this morning about this. We talked about before, the issue of Facebook, Twitter, these things. A lot of parents want to forbid their kids from it 100%. I personally believe that let them have it, but with rules and regulations from the beginning. We talked about that. That if, for example, you have a daughter, there's no pictures, no adding of boys, no this, no that. Things that are haram on it, you use it just with your friends to have fun, to communicate, no big deal. But we're not going to be doing anything haram and displeasing to Allah upon it. That's better than going behind your back and doing that which is haram and displeasing to Allah. Another one of the enemies that is destroying the Muslims today is what? The media, no doubt. The media, I mean, that goes into the TV. But another thing which is supposed to be one of the best places for them, the most important places for them, the schools, and it's the biggest enemy. The reality is, and I'm somebody who's a teacher, and I know what goes on in the schools. Okay? And I taught in some supposedly good schools, so supposedly Islamic schools. We know what goes on in the schools. The schools are dangerous, the stuff our kids are learning. Unfortunately, why don't we establish good schools? Is it difficult? No. It goes back to what the brother said. Lazy. We're lazy. That's why. That's why we don't do it. We have people who have the money. We have awesome teachers. Awesome Muslim teachers around the world. We have people who have the money willing to sponsor, but we're too lazy to do it. There's already schools. Just send your kid to any school. And the stuff they're learning in the school, it's a big problem. In Dr. Zakir's school in India, they do an interview for the student and for the parent. because they want to make sure that whoever studies in that school is somebody who is good. They ask them certain things. Do you smoke? Do you watch movies at home? And if they say yes, they say, we're sorry, we can't accept your kid in the school. Why? They say, because we're going to build in the day and you're going to go and corrupt it and destroy it at night. And what happens, even if we're good parents today, it's the opposite that we're living with. We build in the nighttime and then we go and destroy it by sending our kids to certain schools. Then what is the solution? Once again, fear Allah, mastata'tum, what you can. Look for the best alternative. Sometimes say, okay, but this school is not as good academically. Then what's more important, the deen of your kid or his academics? And let's be honest, when I taught in some of the top schools, they're all rubbish in the end. If the kid is going to benefit, he's going to strive, he's going to benefit from either school. Sahih, some schools are better than others, but in general, all of them are not too good, let's be honest. And sometimes you pay so much money for some of these private schools, as you guys know. You guys are going through, they bite you. You pay so much money, at the end of the day, it's like, what am I doing to my children? I'm paying all this money for nothing. This is something as an ummah, we're going to talk about ummah building, we have to really look back in this. We have to start building for the ummah. Look at the people we know, the relations we have, and try to get the message out there to make some changes. Because these are two things, the issue of the media and the issue of the schools. We really need to make changes in this. Alhamdulillah, we were just on the Mercy Mission Twins of Faith conference. Alhamdulillah, one of the things that Mercy Mission, which is part of Al-Kawthar, which is coming here, was it next week? They have a course here next week. One of the things they're doing now is building schools. They have a new school now, opened up in Malaysia, and hoping, inshallah, to branch out. Because they realize the importance of the education for the kids in the school and the dangers that they're facing. The dangers that they face in society. Like what? Huh? Friends. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam trained us. He said, "Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalilihi." The person is on the religion of his friend. So look at who you befriend. Danger. SubhanAllah, my parents, non-Muslims, when I was a non-Muslim, they wouldn't let me go out to certain places unless they asked who I was going with, especially my father. They want to know who I was going with. Nowadays, our kids run in the streets and we don't even ask. What are they learning from these kids? What are they being taught? Having good friends. The dangers of the friends they have on the home. You let that into your home. You have to be careful. What are some other problems that they face in society? Other dangers? Drugs. And it's a big thing. Especially in some of the families, some of the societies who have a little extra money, a little this. Because people now, they're falling into emotional stress. And the drugs, the danger of the drugs, happens now because our kids, we want to be easygoing with them. We let them do what they want now. Freedom. Do what you want to do. They're listening to rap music and this. And it's cool now to get high. Huh? It's like some of you hippie guys, you old guys. I know you guys, man. You guys are, former hippies. Back in the days, in the 60s, it was cool to get high. Now those who are following the rappers and the hip-hop guys, it's cool to get high. So they want to be like them. Smoke a blunt. Like so-and-so, the rapper. And they fall into the trap of shaitan, one by one. The bad company. How many people tell you they fell into drugs? They said, all start with a cigarette. Start smoking cigarettes, start this, then a little alcohol, a little weed, a little this, and then it starts to go. Dangerous. The family problems that we put our kids through. We talked about the fiqh of differing, of arguing with our spouses, because you're going to differ. There's no perfect marriage. But we said we have to have rules and regulations that if we differ, what? Never in front of the children. Issue of divorce and the effect it has on the children. Is divorce allowed in Islam? It's allowed. But is it the way to go most of the time? No. We try our best. And you see, divorce is very, very difficult in Islam. It's a very serious thing. You can't even say the word. There's a way it's supposed to be done. If you do it by the sunnah, and pay attention to this, because a lot of people don't reflect on sometimes the issues of fiqh and the wisdom behind it. If somebody wants to divorce his wife according to the sunnah, how are you supposed to do it? Nobody knows. It's a good thing, sisters. None of them know. So you guys are safe. Alhamdulillah. They have no clue. Well, it's a good thing, mashallah. No, that's if you're trying to make sulh. You're trying to solve the problem. That's what you should do in the beginning, I'm saying. But if it comes to the time, khalas, you're going to divorce her. No, but you're supposed to do it when? When she has finished her menses, at a time she finished her menses, and that time that you haven't been with her. Pay attention to that. And from the sunnah, that if it's in a time where you've been with your wife intimately, that you're not supposed to divorce her until she starts her period, finishes her period, and after that. So this is a long, long transition. Look at the wisdom behind that. So to say it's 2 weeks until she has her period, then 1 week, so that's 3 weeks. What usually happens during that 3 weeks? If you're going to follow the sunnah and do it properly. Tell us. You forget, you forgive, and you kiss and make up, alhamdulillah, everything's beautiful. The wisdom of the sunnah. And then after that, if you were to divorce her, you send her packing to her parents' house, right? Is that correct? No. She stays where? In your house. Until she finishes how many? 3 periods. So a little bit over 3 months most of the time, depending on the cycle. But about 3 months. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَعَلَّ اللَّهُ يُحْدِثْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا. Allah will make something happen after that. Perhaps He'll make something happen. Something will spark. The beauty of the marriage from the beginning after 3 months. You're supposed to live your life normally. Because divorce is a bad thing. It's not a good thing. In most cases. Sometimes, you know, it might have to happen. But in general, we're talking about. Because of the ill effects that it has on the children. And destroying the households. The issue of the weakness of faith and the ignorance of the knowledge. We talk about the importance of knowledge in the house. The importance of strengthening the tawheed. Of strengthening the iman, of strengthening the practice and acting upon Islam. When that becomes weak, who becomes strong in the household? Shaitan. He takes over. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the kafir in Surah Maryam. Tu'uzzuhum azza. Constantly enticing them. Constantly enticing them. Because the shayateen have taken over their life. We don't teach them from the beginning, when you go into the bathroom, be careful, this is the place of who? The shayateen like these dirty places. That's why you say when you enter the bathroom, what? Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. Saying Bismillah before you eat, so who doesn't eat with you? Shaytan, eating with your left hand, so who eats with you? Correct? People say no. Eating with which hand? The right hand. But nowadays, left hand, right hand, no big deal. No training. Somebody now has been 15-year-old eating with the left hand, with the right hand. No big deal. These sunnahs, they become no big deal. Who's eating with him? Shaitan. Not protecting himself. When he goes to bed at night, what's he doing? Listening to a little soft music to relax before he goes to bed. Got the headphones on. With his iPhone, listening to some iTunes. Huh? Where's the adhkar? Where's Ayatul Kursi? Where's he supposed to be doing? Protecting himself. Protecting the household. They're not trained. They don't know. We didn't teach them. When we don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the homes, what's going to happen to the hearts? What's going to happen to the homes? To the individuals inside the home? What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about the house that Allah is not remembered in? It's like the grave, the dead, house of the dead. Kharib, ruined house. And the person who remembers Allah doesn't remember Allah, say the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the one who doesn't remember Allah, who turns away from his remembrance, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنكًا. Whoever turns away from my remembrance, he lives an evil life. So we're in, what's the problem? What's the problem? The problem starts from us, ikhwan. This is what I want to tell you guys. It starts from us. sahih, true, that the enemies of Islam are trying to destroy the Muslim households from within, no doubt. The first place that I ever know about, ever heard about, that has 24-hour, non-stop, free movie channels, translated into your language. And even they tell you one of their advertisement, just for you. Just for you. We've come to destroy your household. Just for you. They say, Ramadan yajma'una. Ramadan brings us together in the hellfire. Just for you. This is the reality. We let them in our household. What happens to us, ourselves, and our children when they're watching these movies? And a lot of people now think, yeah, there's some good in some movies. Perhaps there could be. But there's a lot of evil in them as well. And that little bit of evil could be the change of something good or bad in your life by you watching it. And most of the time, what do most movies have in them? A good message or a bad message? Most of it's bad. And even sometimes, if there's a lot of good, that little bit of bad, is it worth it or not? Why would you accept something bad? If somebody were to come with a big thing of juice on the front in this, and somebody were to come and urinate in it a little bit, percentage-wise, it has 98% juice and 2% urine. Who's going to drink it from you guys? Yeah, it has a lot of 98% good, man. Come on. You get into Harvard with 98%, man. But we're willing to change for our deen, for our aqidah, for our children. We'll say, okay, 98%. Listening to music, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Come on, man. Let's not be extreme. Music, and what gets me, some of these modern day scholars who say it's halal now, music, they put conditions for it to be halal. They'll say that it has to have a positive message, not calling to like fornication and bad things like this. Which music has a positive message? Let's be honest. English music, American music, which has taken over the world, where's the positive message in that? Someone said, no, man, Tupac, he was deep, man. Someone was like, yo, he's like a prophet, man. He was deep. No, he was. He was deep. He talked, his lyrics were really deep. And they talk about some issues in the ghetto communities in America that were deep. He talked about some things about women's rights. He had some good stuff in his music. It's true. But let's look at the percentage-wise of the good and bad he had in it. Big difference. Kill him. The woman's a bee. Yeah? This is what you're hearing. Smoking this, doing that. Killing this, killing that. So what's our message to send into our children? Now there's some good in this. Arabic music, I don't understand it and I don't listen to it, but you hear it sometimes during the souk. Never, I think, in the world, the history of Arabic music, I don't know that there's a song, except for it has a Habibi, a Habibti in it. I've never heard an Arabic song unless it says Habib or Habibti. You walk in the souk here, it's got to say Habib or Habibti. And he's not talking to his wife and she's not talking to her husband. So which message is that sending to the people? We have to wake up, man, and be real. Think about what this stuff is doing to us and to our households. No big deal. Now, in the movies, or even in some TV shows, she's gone now. I don't know who's on, I'm not keeping up with this stuff nowadays, but so excuse me for being a little old school. Oprah, who retired recently, she's always there with this big cross on her neck, a lot of the times, right? What message is this sending to you indirectly and to your children? It's okay, it's not that bad, not that big of a deal, right? You worship the sleeve, you worship the cross, we worship Allah, you know, whatever, no big deal. Dr. Phil, is he still around? Dr. Phil, does he have some good stuff? He does, I'm not gonna lie. Even Oprah, she has some good stuff. We have to be just as Muslims. They have some good things. But is their outlook and how they raise their children the way we want to raise our children as Muslims? They might have some good points, don't get me wrong. But in general, now for example, there was two young individuals, a Muslim man and a non-Muslim girl. They were like 18 and they fell in love online, all this. I don't know if you guys saw the story or not. And they wanted to get married. What was his solution? He said, no, don't get married. Try it out a little bit first. Take a test drive. Lease it for a few years. Lease it for a year or two. And if you like it, then at the end, go ahead and buy it. Then you get married. It's a different ideology than what we have. We have to be careful. So these things are dangerous. All throughout the films that we watch, the Hollywood films, at the time of difficulty, what's the first thing that they do in the film? Swear or what? Drink. Straight to the whiskey. And they go to the bar, get drunk. This, that. What type of message is this sending to our children now who are coming up? It's not that big of a deal. Even somebody look at it as being cool as a way to do it. This is dangerous stuff. How many one-night stands do we see in the movies? What is this teaching us and our children? That's no big deal. The danger, we've let it into our households. The enemies of Islam from the beginning, and especially in the days we live in, are trying to focus on corrupting the Muslim household by focusing on who first? The children and who else? The women. To destroy the mother. The foundation of the household. The mother. To destroy the Muslim women. To get them out of their household like they did to the women in the West. How were they able to destroy the household in the West? And look at this. Look at the household in the West. Is this what we want for our families as Muslims? This is dangerous stuff. We have to be honest, Ikhwan. This is serious. These things are not just happening by coincidence. These are strategically planned moves from their things. This is in some of their books, by the way. That the way to get to them and to corrupt the society is to corrupt the household. Take out the mother. Destroy the children. If they can get our children, what's going to happen to the ummah in the future? We're not going to be able to do anything ourselves. Destroy it from the beginning, from the roots. Thinking about it. They're sending these messages to our households. Other things that are the dangers in the household is that we talk about waking up. Is that the reality as fathers, as mothers, we're in a serious ghafla. Absent-mindedness, not paying attention. We don't know what's going on in our own households. Let's be honest. What are our children doing? What are they up to? What should they be doing? We don't know. Wallahi, and most of us today, we become, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, about the an'am, about the livestock. We go out, and it goes out and grazes, eats, and comes back and goes to sleep. That's what life has become. Our households have been destroyed because we're not teaching our children to do what they're supposed to do. They have desires. They have energy. We're not fulfilling these. We're not putting it into the right places. We're not giving them the proper time. Why do they spend so much time on these games and on TV? Why? Because they're looking for something to fill their time and do. Just like somebody now who uses drugs and alcohol. Why do people turn to this? What are they looking for? A way out. Has all this free time. What to do with it? They don't know what to do with it. Because they're not being channeled. The energy's not being channeled in what they should be. We talked about having a system in the household. Starting from what? The beginning. Knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing His obligations. The five daily prayers. If you just get your system around the five daily prayers in the home, going to the masjid with your sons and coming back, look the effect it's going to have. The Quran in the household, hearing the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeing the sunnah practiced. This one's going to have the effect to protect ourselves. And we have to realize, as an ummah, the manhaj, the methodology that we need to be following in our lives, and how we're going to get there. It's only going to be through Islam. Time and time again, subhanAllah, we want to follow the Western way of life. And unfortunately, in the Muslim world, they follow the bad things that the non-Muslims do. The good things, do they follow it? Let's go outside now and take a drive. And let's go to America or go to the UK and take a drive. Which one is safer? Which one's better? It's a danger zone. We go out every day playing real life PlayStation, but we might not come home alive. It's crazy. The only thing left is for a car literally to fly over us in our society. It's mad. Because the good stuff they don't take. Destroying our societies. And some of it's meant to do. So I was telling some people the other day, a pack of cigarettes, how much is it in a Muslim country? It doesn't mean you have to smoke. I don't smoke, I know how much it costs. Unless it's went up. It was about seven reals, right? 10 reals now, okay, went up. Okay? 10 reals. Anybody know how much it costs in Europe? Almost 10 euros. More than 50 reals. Big difference. Taxes. So the people won't smoke, so they'll save their lives. But here, no, let the Muslims kill themselves. Dangers come to you. Free TV, easy this, easy that. Kill them. Take them out. From a young age. We have to know the evil that the enemy wants for us. Because Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu in Sahih al-Bukhari taught us something very important, a very important principle. He said, كَانَ النَّاسُ يَسَلُونَ عَنَ الْخَيْرِ He said, the people were asking about the good. لَكِنْ كُنْتُ أَسَلَ عَنَ الشَّرْءِ مَخَافَةً يُدْرِكَنِي I was asking about the evil, so I wouldn't fall into it. So we have to know the evil. We have to know that there's plans out there to corrupt the Muslim societies, to corrupt the Muslim household. But at the same time, we have to realize that sometimes the biggest enemy is what? The enemy within. The enemy within. And the only way that we're going to solve our problems as an ummah is returning to the Quran and the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and acting upon it. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he talked about all of the groups, the Islamic groups, they're going to go astray and go into the hellfire, and they're Islamic groups. He said all of them are in the hellfire except for one. Which one? Ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi. What I am upon today and my companions. Me and my companions, what we're on today. So this is the methodology that's going to make us successful as an ummah. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, who died in 179 to the hijrah. The Imam of Medina, rahimahullah and radiyallahu anhu. He said something very, very important. He said that the end of this ummah will never be successful except for with what made the beginning of this ummah successful. And this is the reality. Umar al-Khattab, as we mentioned yesterday, said to us that we are a nation, Allah gave us honor through what? Islam. And we look for the honor and other than Islam, what happens? Allah will humiliate us. Time and time again, we have so many solutions in Islam, but we want to look elsewhere. I remember when we had a meeting in the school I was teaching in, and these people, non-Muslims, they did a good job, honestly, I have to admit it. They worked really, really hard. And they're getting paid, like five times what we get paid as Muslims, huh? So, from the Muslim money. So they come, and they make these like rules and regulations, and the goals and the visions of the school. And they worked really hard. And they came with all of these slogans and all these things. And we have all of it almost in the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they were saying, I said, yeah, we have a hadith, a statement of our Prophet. He said the same thing. And they were like, you know, because they thought they had come up with this stuff, was good stuff, you know. I said, we already have this in Islam. I said, Islam teaches the same thing. So you could see they were kind of getting annoyed because they thought they had come up with something. I said, we already have it in our deen, alhamdulillah. But we don't look into the deen. We look at at John and Harry and Larry to teach us how we should be. Don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean we can't benefit from good things that the other religions have or other nations have. That's a good thing. But at the same time, we need to be strong Muslims and proud Muslims. And time again, we see today that so many practicing Muslims, at the same time, they're successful in their education, in the world they live in. We don't want to let shaitan fool us, that we have to be like this to be successful. No. We can be good Muslims and also be positive members of society, helping the society. And I'm going to end, inshallah, with a story about this as an example. And for me, it was an amazing story. I was in Riyadh, and we were going to visit Sheikh Abdulaziz Al-Fawzan, a great Muslim scholar who had lived in America for some time in our area in Virginia. And if anybody, you know the Saudi customs and stuff like that, we're about to walk into his sitting. He says, "Tafaddal, come in." And as we're walking in, we hear a woman's voice. Who's this? You know, we everybody steps back. It was me and some other students. So we step back. Like, what is this? He's like, "Come in." It's like, there's a woman talking. No way we're going to come in. So we come in and then we see this guy. He looked like a non-Muslim, but he ended up being a Muslim. And there was a sister inside, and they had a meeting inside. She was actually had a PhD from America, also from the same area I'm in Virginia. And she was talking about a project she had with this other professor in the university, and they were discussing with the sheikh. She's really Palestinian, but grew up and raised in America. She had her PhD was about global warming. And in the media today, who gets the biggest blame for global warming from the countries? America. Blame everything on America. Just put it on America. Huh? True, not true. Put everything on America. Huh? So she did research and found out that America is way down on the chart. There's so many other countries who have a more effect on the global warming than America. America's mesquite when it comes to it, but they get blamed for it. So she proved this through research, through numbers. This, for the American government, was a big success. Because this let them cool down. Because it's an issue now. It's an issue for the future. It's an issue for our children, for our grandchildren. The things that happen because of the global warming, it's going to be issues in the future. So America, they're safe from this research now. They're not the bad guy when it comes to this. So they rewarded this Muslim sister in the White House. Had a big celebration to celebrate her research and to honor her. And she came in her full hijab, mashallah, and accepted that reward as a Muslimah. So a Muslim, you don't have to, we have to get out of this mindset. This, you know, we feel like we have to do a little haram to be successful. Leave the sunnah. Don't practice this in Islam. No, Islam doesn't teach us this. Don't forget where we were as an ummah in the past. Our brains used to work. Now our brains are on ice. They still work, but they've been frozen for some time. We need to defrost them. Get them working and thinking again. The Muslims, they're the ones who reached the modern science and medicines today. It's all built on Muslim research. Because Muslims used to think. كنت خير أمة أخرج الناس best of أمة sent to mankind. We have to revive this in our households. Act upon لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله in the households. And I focused more on tonight on the issue of the enemy within. Then we talk about outside. Because خلاص يا إخوان, it's getting old. It's getting old blaming it on somebody else. Let's go home tonight after this series and reflect on how to make change. And like I said, don't let shaitan fool you, because we talked about the foundation and you say our foundation's horrible. We can rebuild. We can rebuild. The Sahaba, we told you what? When did they become Muslims? When did they become Muslims? When they were old. Imam al-Bukhari, he mentioned after the the statement that was to seek knowledge قَبْلُ أَن تُسَوَّدُوا, which he used as one of the headings in one of the chapters in Sahih al-Bukhari, which is to seek knowledge. Some of the scholars said تُسَوَّدُوا, meaning before you become a sayyid, someone who's responsible, and some of them said that before you have to change the color of your hair because it got all gray. I mean, before you get old, or before you have responsibility, seek knowledge when you're young and you have the ability to do it, because that's the best time. But Imam Bukhari, he said something after, he said, وَقَدْ تَعَلَّمْ أَصْحَابَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ هُمْ كِبَارٌ. But the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they learned and they were old. They weren't young when they learned. So it's possible. And they had children just like you have children. And they were raised, their children were raised on what? On kufr before Islam. Your children, alhamdulillah, kufr has been getting to them, but alhamdulillah, they're raised on Islam and they know they're Muslims. They have the khair, they have the natural instinct inside. We need to revive this, to strive to revive it and to act upon it and to make change. And it's never an aib, a fault to look down upon, to have made mistakes in the past. But the aib and what's looked down upon is to continue upon that mistake, once you know. We have to strive day and night to revive our ummah, to build our ummah. And that all starts from in the household. First of all, in ourselves, with our wives, with our children. Building, making change. Like we said, if every household just focused on itself, it's going to spread and the khair is going to come to the ummah. And Islam is a religion that encourages us to be the best we can be in the deen and what? In the dunya. Doesn't tell us to be monks. Don't make money. Don't be successful. All aspects. Be the best you can be. Strive in all aspects of life. We need to revive these meanings. And Allah knows best. Allahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.